And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the phone line with us today is our dear friend, Dr. John Vance. Pastor Vance, welcome.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you and with your listeners.
I was wondering what we were going to be doing this week for A Plain Answer, and then I got thinking about a theme that has been, I don't want to say haunting me, but it's been going through my mind, and the fact that God raises up people into their individual callings and work. And I guess it was brought to the front of my mind because of a book I was reading that was writing about the life of Martin Luther. But Pastor Vance, can you get us started today? What does the Lord, as he writes his word to us, want us to know about our callings in life?
Calling is, of course, a very important matter for living life, as I think we'll see as we go through and reflect on what that means. Calling or vocation, it also it has to do with vocation in life, your
right.
Calling. But calling as such, as we think of it, is actually rooted in our call in Christ to be his children. I knew that we were going to talk about this. Yeah, I think you sent me an email yesterday that you were reflecting some on this. And so I looked up a couple of passages in Scripture, and one that's quite familiar where it says, make your calling and election sure. But any discussion of our calling in this life, let's say, to the world, to Christ and so forth, it is founded in our election and redemption in Christ. And I went back to that passage. In fact, the word calling is not used a great deal. Elko, that's a Greek word, and it's derivatives. But I was looking at this passage in 2 Peter. It says, his divine power had granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to be his own, called us to be his own glory and excellence. So whatever we think about calling or vocation or how it developed in history, it is rooted deeply in the fact that we are called as people, as Christians, to the glory of the Lord. And the glory and excellence we're called. And then in Peter goes on to say, therefore, brethren, be the more zealous to confirm your call and election. For if this you do this, you will not fall.
Mm.
So it's calling and vocation are rooted in our salvation in Christ. Says in Ephesians, there's a verse there that says, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord begs you to lead a life worthy of your calling to which you have been called.
Mm.
So we're called, beckoned, brought into the kingdom through God's action in Christ. And that's the basis. In fact, that's the basis for the whole of life, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's a very important subject because if you have peace in your life's work that you're doing, it may be very hard. It may be awful at times, but if you have peace in that life's work and you know that providentially it's what God has given you to do, it makes things just go a lot better in your whole life, it seems to me. Years ago, and I think you've been through this yourself, years ago, I think there was a tendency in some Christian circles to say, here's a young person, and if they got, quote, called to the Christian ministry, quote unquote, of a pastor or a missionary or whatever, that was really, really, really good. But if there was somebody like me that got called into a technical world or into broadcasting or what have you, that was so-so. But it doesn't work that way, does it?
Not at all. Not at all. This notion actually goes back to the Middle Ages, where the church at that time made an error. There were callings, and then there were callings. As a matter of fact, there was the word vocation was used for a higher level. If you go back, and I have read a number of things on the Middle Ages. I've been interested in the origin of a lot of matters that developed during that period. But for the ordinary life of, you know, getting married, having children, whatever your work did, it might be cleaning out horse stalls, it might be a shoemaker, it might be a bread maker, anything that you did was not really considered to be anything of substance. It wasn't that holy or anything. It was second best.
Right.
And it was second best because the idea developed that the monastic life was a special call to holiness and celibacy and those kinds of things. And you were set aside, and this is really was special. And so there was a two-tier understanding about life, that there's some people were just ordinary and others were very special. And of course, in a real way, it was a way to support the monasteries and things like that as well, because if you thought they had a special status, you were going to do that. It was a built-in interest for the church.
Correct.
To do that. And so that kind of bifurcation or division really did downplayed the ordinary life, quote, that we have, and failed to see, in I think a very fundamental way, that we all have callings because we've first been called to serve the Lord, and then we have our callings as we live in this world.
Mm. Well, I was reading, as I mentioned, a book titled Victorious Christians Who Changed the World. And when the author got to Martin Luther, it became a very large chapter. But there's one little section here I want to read that I think goes along with what you're saying. He writes, in, quote, The Liberty of the Christian Man, unquote, November 1520, Luther presented the essentials of Christian belief and behavior. Luther removed the necessity of monasticism by stressing that the essence of Christian living lies in serving God in our calling, whether secular or ecclesiastical. In promoting this Protestant work ethic, Luther laid the foundation for free enterprise and the tremendous productivity it has inspired. He taught that good works do not make a man good, but a good man does good works. Fruit does not produce a tree, but a tree does produce fruit. We are not saved by doing good works, but by grace alone. However, once saved, we should expect good works to flow as the fruit of true faith. And that's a little section here from this book where the author is writing about Martin Luther.
Well, Luther was, of course, a monk. And he knew that side of life very, very well. And he married a nun, Catherine von Brewer. So he knew all about both sides of life.
Yes.
But his basic criticism of monasticism is quite interesting. Now, he wouldn't be entirely opposed, I don't think, to special callings or scholars getting together to do work. But his criticisms of monasticism actually go at a very fundamental level. He says, if you wall yourself off in a monastery or whatever, or set your silence, how can you keep the commandment of love thy neighbor as yourself, when in fact you are walled off from the world? And he saw that as somewhat defective, wasn't being able to fully carry out particularly those kind of monks who lived solitary lives.
Mm-hmm.
So he rooted it in love for God and love for neighbor.
Yeah.
His criticisms of the monastery, and he was really saying that the ordinary life is just as holy as those who wall themselves up behind bricks and stones.
Well, today we're talking about vocation, about calling. And God really gives you a sense of well-being as we walk in the calling that He has given to us. I'm going to send it back to you, Pastor Vance, to continue on in this theme now.
Well, it would be, from my perspective, since I was trained in historical theology, that means trying to understand theology through the ages as things developed or changed or whatever, or become, we begin to understand certain things better, for instance, concerning the person and work of Christ in the third and fourth centuries when the great creeds were developed. So I see things from a historical perspective, and Luther was a revolutionary in that sense. He was a revolutionary in that he saw the ordinary life, quote, the ordinary life, unquote, was just as holy as the religious life.
Right.
And that the distinction between religious and ordinary, for him, was a category that was false. Hmm. And he did emphasize vocation. And I think on one occasion I can remember reading, I read a lot of Luther. I studied him in graduate school a great deal. I spent time studying four people, and I discovered that they all pretty much came down on the same level, a lot of things: Augustine, Aquinas, Luther, and Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
I focused on them in graduate school when I was studying historical theology. But Luther does something here very, very well. He saw the distinction between ordinary and religious as being a false distinction, and he elevated the cobbler, the shoemaker, the baker, so forth. He elevated that as really, truly serving the Lord, because you were loving your neighbor when you baked his bread or fixed his shoes.
Amen.
It was an act of love.
Amen.
Just as much as it was if a priest was preaching a sermon.
Yeah.
Both were necessary for life. That's the fullness of life. He understood that God has given us all things richly to enjoy and to share. And so this bifurcation between ordinary and religious did not wash with him.
Yeah. I think of my own father, and he had some unique skills of hands-on, of making things work, whether it be plumbing or electrical, and he would often help very small churches. Sometimes they needed a light in their main sanctuary, a little sanctuary. Sometimes the parsonage needed a pump replacement job, or this, that, the other thing, and he would help them. No pay involved. Many times he would provide the parts free of charge. He was that much of a giving man, and that was his ministry many times. And, you know, besides mm-hmm. raising a family and taking us boys fishing and all of that, he would labor terribly hard as a toolmaker. Sometimes he would work down to the tenth of a thousandth of an inch on a couple of really critical projects when he got really, really good at his trade. But I see him as a man of God. He wasn't a preacher. He would help lead worship in the early days, but he was a man of God because he loved the Lord Jesus, and he used whatever skills and he perfected them that the Lord had given him to help others. And that was a really important Christian ministry, especially for a small church who doesn't even have the money to buy a pump.
Yes.
He would
yes.
help them out. And so my hat is off to him, and I miss him dearly.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's a great tribute.
He encouraged me in ham radio, and then later would encourage me in broadcasting. And without him, I don't think there would be a Redeemer Broadcasting.
That's no doubt true, Dan. Surely you see a wonderful connection there.
Yep.
The reformers did, and I don't mean to say that the other churches did not, like Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic, because
sure.
they also came around to this. What you see in the reformers is that they see that the Lord has sanctified a life in general. And you can live a holy life. Paul says, whatever your hands find to do, do it. That's holy and good if it's a holy profession. Some years ago, when I was in New York, I don't remember the year, but it was a long time ago, and it was when the garbage collectors were going to go on strike, and there was a lot of criticism. I don't know the details. They could be right or wrong. I don't remember all of that. But I do remember this, that they said to the powers that be, well, just wait and see what happens if we don't collect the garbage. Well, the truth is, if you don't collect the garbage in New York City, and this has happened a few times, you not only it looks messy, but you are subjecting the whole city and so forth, and wherever you don't collect, to more disease and rats and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes to show how important any job is to society and to our welfare.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a great physician or a doctor or a surgeon to contribute to society. You don't have to be some bishop somewhere who's leading a diocese. You don't have to be a powerful minister of the gospel in some southern church, well known for your writings or something. The people who pick up our trash are very important to our well-being in this world.
Oh, yes.
And while the verse is not found in the Bible, cleanliness is next to godliness, that's part of the blessings of life, to be able to live in a healthy, safe, clean yeah. environment, for which the reformers saw as being a holy calling.
Before we opened the mic, we were chatting about a mutual friend we had lost. And this was a dear friend. And news will get out of his passing with time. But his skills were completely different from mine. He could work on cars. He could get them going. When he was younger in life, before I knew him, he was a very, very strong lineman. He could climb poles. And there is an example of a man who basically kept things going, particularly on the lineman job. My hat is off to those guys. Sometimes you got a terrible storm, and the only thing moving is these big diesel trucks out there, and with the booms, and these guys, along with the chainsaws and the guys that do the sawing, they're getting trees off the lines and getting them going. And sometimes I'm just simply amazed how fast they get a devastated area back up and running. And that is a godly work.
It sure is. The gentleman you're talking about was a member of my church.
Yes.
And I talked to him about this one time. I said to him, how hard is it to get up at 3 in the morning in 2 feet of snow,
yes.
and it's sub-zero, and go out and climb a pole and get the electric back? He said it's a tough thing.
Yeah.
But he said, I always thought it was necessary and good. That's the way he put it. He said, I had to do it.
That's
and
right.
I was doing it for the people. Otherwise, people could die with the electricity.
That's
out.
Right. And you had mentioned before in the discussion that loving God and loving people, loving mankind, this is at the outworking of that.
It's a labor of love.
Indeed it is.
It's a labor of love of a person who will be faithful to this critical infrastructure a job,
yeah.
and to go out and do it and be faithful. And they have as much right to take pride in their work, as I said, as a great surgeon or
yes.
a great preacher like Charles Spurgeon, someone like that. Yes. But, you know, let me shift just a second. It is a lack of calling in our modern world and a sense of it that is creating despair.
Mm.
We've got lots of homeless people. We've got lots of people on drugs. We've got all kinds of social ills in our society. And I don't say this is the sole reason at all by any means, but one of the great problems is that people have lost a sense of vocation. They've lost a sense of vocation, and because vocation does two things that's very important. First of all, it's based, as I originally said when we started talking, in our calling to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we are redeemed to be part of God's family.
Hmm.
And what it does is a vocation, by its very nature, the way it developed in the West, recognizes that God is there and God is not silent.
Hmm.
And God has sent his son into the world to call us into his kingdom. And that gives meaning. That gives you a sense of who you are and what you're about. I love the opening of the smaller catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith that says, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Notice here is the fact that God is there. He truly is at the center and meaning of all things.
Yes.
And two, that we share in this through our vocation, which gives us meaning and purpose in life. And it's this latter thing that I see is at the base of so many of our social ills.
Oh, yeah.
Young people growing up without a sense of God, without a sense of purpose, without a sense of serving other human beings to the glory of the Lord. It could be a very serious problem.
Yes. Now, so far, we've talked about the cases of those like myself who have a calling outside of being a pastor or a missionary. And I also want to give a little bit of time, a couple minutes, to those who have a very clear calling to preach the Word of God. What's it like to get that, and how does that work out? Pastor Vance.
Well, as I told you, I've read a lot of Luther. I've also read some of John Calvin. The Puritans were great on calling. As a matter of fact, they were probably greater in their understanding of this in a broader sense than Luther had or anyone in the Reformers, that how important it was to ordinary life. But Luther is very good on calling of those who are to preach the gospel. First of all, he says you don't do it yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be called by a congregation, or if it's a hierarchical type church, let's say the Anglican Church or the Lutheran Church in Europe, you would be designated and called by others. But you may have an internal call, but that internal call is not really, has to be sanctioned by the community. After all, the whole community, remember, our kingdom of priests, the priesthood of all believers.
That's true.
And that they would single out one person to, especially gifted, they recognized to serve them was truly a holy calling and an esteemed calling. And Luther and Calvin and Bucer and Zwingli, all of the reformers knew that you had to have a regular ministry to the church.
Sure.
That was rooted in the calling of some people are gifted to preach and teach and to lead the people of God.
Mm.
And so that also was very important because they broadened the understanding of calling did not mean that they didn't appreciate and have an extraordinary benefit in calling to serve the Lord in these ways.
Yeah.
And they supported that. But it wasn't just for everyone who felt like they wanted to do something. I remember Charles Spurgeon, when I was struggling with my own sense of call, he gave some advice to in his preacher's college there. He says, told the preachers in a lecture one time, he says, if you can do anything else, do it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
He said, you have to have that burden that God is calling you as well.
Yes.
And if you can do anything else, do it.
Amen.
Because you're not fit for the ministry in this special way.
I wish many would heed that, because I feel that we have a number of pastors that probably are misplaced. But praise God for those who are properly placed and have received the strong call of the Lord and know it. Pastor Vance, thank you for joining us today. I knew you'd have a lot of insights here on vocation and calling, and you really did. We got to go. Any last comment before we pull the switch here?
Well, we all have a calling, and it is up to us to examine before the Lord, what is our calling? Because when we find our calling, we are going to be productive, happy, and we will bless others to the glory of God.
Amen. Our guest today has been Dr. John Vance, a dear friend, a board member here at Redeemer. And if you need to reach him, just send us an email at the ministry. We're found at ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. Pastor Vance, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.